I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And welcome back in. We'll continue our conversation with retired wildlife consultants and biologist Paul Jakubczak, Dave Rave, and also Captain Eric Grew of Calcasieu Charter Service about ducks in crisis. I think everyone agrees, certainly, that the numbers are down. This is a continuing and worsening trend. There's a lot of reasons for it. We'll get back to maybe some of the solutions about altering the season. Maybe a lot of people feel the season is much too long and the liberal bag limits are much too generous. But before we do that, I want to get you guys to talk more about the altered migration. There are a lot of telemetry studies now that are starting to reflect that the birds are not traveling south like they did. I had the heads of both the Ducks Unlimited and Delta Waterfowl on this program. When asked about migration problems coming farther south, they stuck with winters. We don't get the winters. It's not cold. And it pretty much gave, I would say, 80 to 90% of the blame on weather. However, a lot of people, particularly this text message board, people are saying that there's some planting and agricultural practices going on north of in the flyway that are altering the migration. And I will read this excerpt from a place called Cache River Farms. It says, having groceries in your spot dramatically improves its ability to attract and hold waterfowl. This is proven time and time again. Corn is a popular crop, and with it, out of doubt, attracts waterfowl. We also like its vertical structure. It helps ducks feel safe. They can swim into it, not feel so exposed to avian predators, and provides excellent thermal cover. Corn also attracts invertebrates that ducks need in their diet as it breaks down in the water. Corn is expensive, labor-intensive to plant since you have to apply nitrogen and spray for weeds. On average, corn needs 120 days to mature so it's ready before hunting season. Corn plays a valuable role in a duck's diet, and just like the video shows, birds love it. This is one place. There's also Habitat Flats and many other places that have discovered the value of holding and attracting ducks, and they're using legal means to levy areas, plant corn, flood it, and basically, from the videos I've seen, it becomes just a paradise for a lot of the species, particularly mallards. So this is a time and end. I don't know how much this contributes to the lack of birds coming down south. Again, the problem is we don't have the birds that we used to, and the ones that are there, a lot of people are arguing that they stay up there. I've got one text in that says that if, you know, on an average year, historically, 6 million birds would be coming down the flyway. If there's 11 locations that are 60-mile squares, each of those holding a half a million ducks, then that means they would keep 5.5 million ducks just on those locations. They brag about it, about how much food they have and how long they can hold them. So that being said, gentlemen, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to get each of your opinion on the flooding of corn and these agricultural practices up north. How much do you think that contributes to the problem of not seeing waterfowl here in Louisiana? I can't remember the last time I've seen a mallard. As I started off this show with McFadden Duffy's article, Louisiana used to be a mallard paradise in the fall. No longer. We'll be back to continue this conversation right after this timeout. You're listening to The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. And this morning we're talking about Louisiana waterfowl in crisis.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, continue our conversation about ducks in crisis. Gentlemen, I'm getting so many texts in, and we discussed several factors that contributed to the worsening of winter populations and the migration. But the one that I think most people point to, and I don't know whether this is because a jealousy thing of saying they're stealing our ducks, they're holding our ducks, they're planting corn on refuges, they're not coming down here south, they got enough food. How much does this contribute to an altered migration? And is it a real factor? Is it real, or does this, as many people say, it doesn't really have any impact because it's a small number? Paul, let me start with you. What is your feelings about, you know, the changes in the law that occurred that allows people to bring water to corn but not corn to water?
Well, I think it is a factor. I don't think it's the major factor. What you have to think about is it costs a lot of money to plant corn and flood it and not harvest it for a profit. So it's only a limited amount of area that this is actually taking place in. Although it is very effective, as you mentioned, if the duck population was at a high point, which it isn't, it probably wouldn't be as noticeable. But with the low populations like it is, it really does affect mallards. Mallards are grain eaters, and the other ducks like gadwall and whatnot are adapting to eat grain, and it is a factor. And I don't think it's the major factor that most people think it is, but it is a factor. And what percentage it is, I don't know, but I'll let some of the other participants respond.
Yeah, Dave, what are your thoughts on this as far as the percentage of what this causes? How much does it contribute? And how much do you think it is climate, if in fact it is? I mean, everybody understands that waterfowl movement is certainly a factor by weather changes and frontal systems and that such. But, you know, it doesn't affect the teal. We see the teal come down. I guess that's photoperiodism moving those birds down. We have great teal seasons, but yet nobody sees mallards anymore and some of the other big ducks here. So how much do you think is weather-related, and how much of it is some of this altered habitat up north in the flyway?
Well, I think most of it is altered habitat, but altered habitat on the prairie pothole region causing a decline in total duck numbers. We talk about flooded corn, and flooded corn would definitely slow down the mallard migration. You know, there's the if you think of Canada geese and snow geese, they've all been benefited by agriculture on the landscape in the fall, providing a lot of food. However, there's, as Paul mentioned, there's things like shovelers, gadwalls, widgeon, blue-winged teal, green-winged teal. Very few of those, you know, they just don't go to agricultural fields that much. They're much more marsh birds. And if you look at Louisiana, the number of all those birds is down, down, down. And so I just don't think that the flooded corn is the total solution. It's part of it. There's a lot of different things. My personal belief is that flooding corn that's unharvested is just legalized baiting, and so I personally would like to see those regulations changed. As far as weather, yeah, weather is a part of it. But if you look at Louisiana right now, most of the mid part of the country is frozen. I was in St. Louis 3 weeks ago, and the wetlands there were frozen, and yet Louisiana still doesn't have any ducks. So I don't think that weather is the problem. I don't think that corn is the problem. I think that habitats in the prairie pothole region and the lack of ducks and good breeding is the problem.
Well, you know, the weather is questionable. You know, I use robins as a gauge when they arrived in the numbers, and we had a lot of robins this year. And I've been hunting woodcock since the 1970s, and this was maybe the best year I've ever had finding woodcock. And it may be that the fact that they had a real good breeding nesting season last year, but the fact that, you know, it requires really extreme cold generally to drive woodcock down here, and they showed up, but yet the ducks don't. So a lot
correct
of things are missing. Captain Eric, tell us what you think about these. You're in the business. What about these places? Are they over-advertising the number of birds that they keep up there with their flooded corn, or is it accurate?
Well, I believe that the that question comes up in the duck blind all the time. You know, the where are the birds? The birds are over there. They're always over there. Somebody's pointing. They're in Oklahoma. They're in Missouri. They're wherever. But I've got a pretty good network of folks that I speak with, and I believe that some of those things are overblown where the ducks are. Now, obviously, the middle states up north for the past 10 years have had, you know, especially with social media. Social media just puts so much out there that, you know, the advertising commercial aspect of hunting, and everybody wants to do the bragging board thing, you know, about where all the ducks are. And that has been the belief. And I do believe that if you reduce the overall populations of birds, you add some bait in their migration path and some, you know, some more areas for those birds to sit, which we all know that these refuges and properties to the north over the last 20, 30 years have increased the habitat. You know, they're obviously stopping some birds, and I think that with the overall numbers going down and them stopping birds, it just leaves less for us to see down here. Now, Louisiana is just as guilty. You know, we have second crop rice that we get to tromp around in the teal seasons and early parts of the year. That's always been a big thing. But then our rice production's down. You know, I mean, there's so many factors, but the bottom line is when you're sitting in a duck blind in Louisiana, you're not seeing near as many ducks. They have disappeared from the sky, and regardless of all of these factors, whether it's, you know, storm damage, wetlands, or rice production, or crawfish, or corn, or, you know, global warming, or pond counts on the prairie, all of those things, from a management perspective, we have less ducks. And I don't care what they do in Arkansas or Missouri or whatever. How are we going to manage them here so that Louisiana hunters get to enjoy their time in the field and see some birds in the air? That's my big beef.
All right, when we come back after this break, we're going to start talking about what can we do. What can change? If we do nothing, I think we're going to get the same result. The trends are going to continue to see less and less birds. What can we do as hunters, as concerned waterfowl hunters? What can our state and federal agencies do? And what can our major waterfowl conservation organizations do to reverse this trend? We'll be right back after this. We're talking about ducks in crisis. This is The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
All right, we've been talking with some waterfowl experts about the situation with ducks in crisis. And, guys, I think it's time to start talking about some possible solutions. We've got federal and state governmental agencies responsible for the management of waterfowl. We have nonprofit waterfowl conservation organizations that take in a huge amount of money. They get volunteers. What can they do? And really, on an individual basis, Eric, you talk about that guy sitting in the duck blind, and he's not worried about it. He just wants to know where the ducks are. But there's a price to be paid to get waterfowl. Paul, let's start with you. What can we do to reverse this trend? We can't do nothing, because if we do nothing, we'll have nothing.
Well, Don, I agree with you. Something needs to be done, and it's a little late, I'm afraid. But you have to realize this matrix that we were discussing earlier was developed 25 years ago. Things have definitely changed in the last 25 years for some of the reasons we discussed with the farming practices and whatnot. And I think that, first of all, the May survey needs to be flown. They need to see what the actual duck count is now, and that they need to make some serious adjustments to the situation. As far as the non-government organizations, they need to take a leadership role in conservation. They've done nothing in the worst drought in 30 years. They did not lobby. As far as I know, they have not lobbied the federal agencies and the flyway councils to reduce the limit and to conserve ducks. So individual people need to put pressure on government leaders and these organizations to reverse some of these negative trends in waterfowl populations.
Dave, what can you suggest as far as remedies for the situation we have with the duck population?
Well, you know, I did want to mention one other thing. Earlier we talked about the ducks and not seeing ducks in Louisiana, but I've hunted in North Dakota and Minnesota since 1990. And there's far, far fewer ducks here than they are, you know, than I used to see in the 1990s. And so, you know, corn and weather and whatnot doesn't play much effect up here. It's duck numbers. So a couple of things that I would say that I would like to see is, first, we need another government grass program and a very, very well-funded one, such as the CRP program. You know, putting grass on the landscape is really important. And it would really be good to have a government program like that in Canada. The other thing I'd like to see is I'd like to see the May survey examined. There's a lot of problems, I think, with the assumptions in the May survey. For example, in the May survey, all lone drakes are considered pairs. And since we now have far, far more drakes than we used to, so the percentage of drakes in the population is far higher. That ends up inflating, in my opinion, the number of pairs. So I think that between a grass program and a reexamination of the May survey so that perhaps we change our regulations, have a little bit more of a more conservative regulations like Paul said.
Captain Erica, we've enjoyed these duck 60-day seasons for a long time now. There's some suggestion to reduce that. Maybe we need to go to 3 birds per day in a 30-day season. Are we too spoiled here in Louisiana? Do we need, in other states, do we need to change our attitudes that the limit is not the norm and you're going for the hunting experience and maybe going less times but having more productive hunts, you'd be able to sell that? Or would this be an economic crash to the business of charter hunting for duck hunting operators when you only have 30 days to get out there and do it? What are your thoughts on going to that three bird limit for 30 days?
Well, obviously it's not in my advantage to go down on a season or anything like that, as you point out. But I think that we just really don't have a choice. I think that always the hardest part is to ask for less. And I think that, you know, the good times, the good old days, as people would say, if in my generation, that is basically the late 90s. We've had a big decline since then. It really hasn't been addressed by the waterfowl managers because it's an adaptive harvest. They've taken a new look at how they're doing things. And I think the burden really rests on the management. I mean, these guys, we can't control as hunters, you know, how many ducks or the pond counts or all those things. But the duck managers have to be the ones in charge to make the rules that says, this is, you know, you're going to get your money's worth when you go out there for those 60 days. You're going to see some ducks and have an opportunity. Right now, there's a lot of places you just don't have an opportunity in Louisiana to shoot birds. And it's really not a good thing. I think that, you know, we've seen that through banding information, whatever, that these birds do imprint. They come here. And I think that as we've reduced our populations here in Louisiana, which is obvious from the surveys over the past 5 years, you probably have the lowest number of birds multiple times in those surveys over the past 5 years. But nothing's being done. The current waterfowl management in Louisiana, is, they've already set it for next year, 6 and 60. That's what the outlook is. So they've got it on cruise control. Somebody's got to shake it up and just, you know, we've got to make some changes, and we have to ask for less. It's just the only way, you know, if you're not getting them, not seeing them, why are you still wanting to take as many? People have to be more conservation-minded in this, and I know that's difficult when you have such a financial burden to be able to hunt.
Sure.
Yes.
Exactly. Well, I'm hoping that these huge organizations, Ducks Unlimited, Delta Waterfowl, are listening to this, and hopefully they will listen to their members, because I know a lot of people have gotten away from them because they don't feel that they're truly representing the needs of the waterfowl hunters. Guys, we're out of time. Thank you so much for this. It's been very informational. Hope we shed some light with some of the listeners and the hunters. I've gotten a ton of text messages here, and a lot of people making some very good points. And what I'd like to do is reserve the right to call you three guys back maybe next year, and we'll see if there's been any changes and get the latest update on progressing to try to reverse this trend of negative waterfowl hunting here in Louisiana and many other states.
Thank you very much, Don.
Thank you, Don.
All right, guys.
We enjoyed it, Don.
We did. I did, too. Thank you so much. All right, we come back after this. We're going to switch gears a little bit and get back to some of your fishing reports. And also, kind of, if you got any text message you want to send in, we'll be happy to share them with our audience right here. 504-260-1870. This is The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. All right, hope you enjoyed our little conversation with our experts, retired biologists Paul Jakubczak and Dave Rave, and also Captain Eric Grew, and hopefully we put out some good information. If you didn't catch it all and you want to listen to the replay, all of these programs, by the way, are available on the following Monday after they air. You can go to Audacy, AUDACY.com, and catch the replay. All right, we're going to pause 10 seconds really quickly here, and we'll be back with Captain Mike Gallo after we let our local stations tell you who they are and where they are along the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And let's bring in Captain Mike Gallo, get a little bit of a fishing report. And, Mike, this unseasonably warm weather we had during the week, this earlier during the week, had it produced any changes in the fishing for you guys?
Don, it has. I made several trips during midweek. The marina had live bait. We were able to catch quite a few speckled trout, lots of sheephead, and a few redfish. So it has been a change from what we're accustomed to in February with normally dreary weather.
So what are your plans for the next couple of days going into Mardi Gras? You got a Mardi Gras crew headed out? Crew of Born on the Bayou, maybe?
Well, as you can tell, my voice is a little hoarse. Went to a Mardi Gras ball with my wife and finding out I'm not as young as I used to be. I do not have any plans to do any Mardi Gras day fishing, but I would certainly suggest that anybody that gets the chance to go do so. We caught fish in deep passes with current, shell bottom, live bait. That worked out fine. We also caught our fish along the edges of Lake Bourne with a popping cork and plastic. Caught some beautiful trout. Nothing giant, but we did have fish up to 16 inches. So it's been a surprise for midweek, but a very welcome surprise. So it looks good. It looks good going into the spring. If things continue to warm up, I think we'll have a good spring.
What about everybody's always wanting to know about the bridges? We have not had a high river. It doesn't look like we're going to get a spillway opening this year. Give us a little bit of a break. What do you expect to see in Pontchartrain this year?
I think we'll have a good spring this year, as long as the spillway does not get opened. And the reason I believe we will have a good spring is we had such a mild winter and those fish consistently stayed scattered. Normally when we have some cold in the winter, say October, November time frame, those fish will bunch up in cold weather, and we really can catch quite a few of them in those areas. But when it's warm and they stay scattered, we have to move consistently to catch up with them, but a lot of them get past us. So in the spring, when those fish start gathering up and starts feeding, our days get longer, and they prepare to spawn. They'll hit those bridges and feed, and I think we'll have a really good spring. I'm looking forward to it.
Hey, calling for some pretty light winds on the inside today and also a good tide range, 1.2. Somebody that's heading out of any of those marinas there in the Slidell, North Shore, South Shore area, what would you suggest their plan be to catch a few fish?
We caught fish in several of the deep passes in the area, Unknown Pass, Lake Catherine Pass, Blind Wrigley's Pass, over shell reefs, you know, stick and move, fish down on the bottom with live bait, give it 15 minutes or so. If you don't catch anything, move. We caught chucks. We had several trips with 20 or so sheephead, and we had several trips with 30 or more speckled trout. So there's fish out there. It's just a matter of finding them. Those fish did move around. We made 6 trips midweek. We ran 3 boats a day for a couple of days, and we just had to move. But every boat was successful, and the live bait was certainly key.
Yeah, fishing hasn't been great, but it's certainly been what I would consider a good February, better than most. Mike, thanks for the report. Take care of that voice, and we'll catch up with you again next week.
Thank you, Don. I'll talk to you next week.
Yes, sir. And you can get Mike at his website and also on my website, DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com. He is AA of LA.com. By the way, his report is brought to you by CETO, and if you pay $179, that gets you a whole year membership. And during that time, if you need fuel dropped off, 24/7 tow-ins, electrical jump starts, whatever it takes to get your back safe, CETO is there for you. It's peace of mind for you and your loved ones. Call one time and you'll be signed up with Captain Chris at 301-4545. That's area code 504. Or if you'd like to get it online, just click CETO.com. Coming back after this, it's time for our Plastic Man. Find out what his Mardi Gras plans are right after this time out on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. Oh, coming up in a couple of weeks at Gunning for a Cure, it's March 12th, going to be taking place out there at Stella Events and Adventures on Highway 39 in Braithwaite, Louisiana. And one of the Bayou Wild team members joins us now, Ryan Lambert. Ryan, I pulled out the plaque we got last year, and it says 2021 Gunning for a Cure Hunter Class Third Place Team. How are we going to get that to first place this year?
Hit 2 more targets.
Training, maybe exercise, calisthenics, no drinking.
Yeah,
late night.
We only missed first place by 2 hits.
Yeah, I know.
It was so close. I didn't know that. I've been more serious.
Well, serious or not, it's a lot of fun, and look forward to seeing you out there in a couple of weeks. And we got a couple other gunners. Chris Lecoq, our cameraman, he's putting the camera down. He's grabbing a shotgun. He's going to shoot. And, of course, Josh Raley, you know, he's kind of our ringer that we bring along. So hopefully we can finish as good, if not better, than we did last year. It's a lot of fun out there. It's a great cause.
Yeah, it is. That's the first time I went. I had a ball. You know, I haven't shot sporting clays. I don't shoot dead stuff. I shoot live stuff. So but it was fun. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, they're going to be out there, too, and it's be a lot of fun. And it's just a short trip across the river for you.
Oh, yeah, it's right there. So it's kind of a day not fit for man or beast today, huh?
Yeah, well, you know, wind's blowing down there along the coast. Inshore, it's not quite so bad. It's going to be sloppy for those folks trying to get to those wahoo that have been biting out there. What you guys got going on?
We got a few boats out. Big Rod is getting married today. We'll wish him the best. And a lot of my boys went to that wedding. So I have the rest of them out on the water right now fighting this wind. But yesterday was like that. That front came through, and they all caught fish. They caught bull reds. They caught reds. Sheepheads. The sheepheads been crazy. I mean, they're catching so many sheepheads. They won't even keep them all. I mean, there's just a lot of sheepheads around and a lot of bull reds. keeper reds, or you know, you can get through them and catch them, but there's more bull reds than keeper reds lately. This is so weird, weird year. Everything's weird. The purple martins are not here yet. They should have been here 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. The black-bellied squealers are showing up before the full moon. There's not a robin anywhere in sight anywhere. I mean, it is a strange, strange year.
Hmm. Let me ask you, I wanted to ask you about duck identification because, you know, you go down to Mexico and you get a lot of those whistlers. I have a pretty good flock of wood ducks that's kind of taken up habitat in my pond. And yesterday I was looking through binoculars, so I didn't get a really close-up look at it, but there was a very unusual bird that was large. It had the pink beak like a whistling duck.
Yeah.
And at first I thought it might have been some kind of a crossbreed, Muscovy, mallard or something. It had a lot of white on the back of its wings and on the back of its head. And I said, that's got to be a domestic duck flew in here. And then all of a sudden it flew up into a tree about 40 feet high. And domestic ducks don't do that. So I'm thinking it was some kind of a Mexican whistler or a tree duck.
Well, that's the black-bellied squealer. And they're brown, and they have that white on their wings, and they have a pink beak. And I'll have 100 or so at my house every day because I feed them. You know, when next full moon, they'll really come in thick. We have Carmen raised up a brood of them 2 years ago. They come back first every year. Those eight birds come back. So they showed up day before yesterday, made her day. And the next full moon, we'll have 100 out there every day. So that's a black-bellied whistling duck.
Because we have the other one.
The pretty bird.
Yeah, they've got another one that's kind of brownish looking, kind of a mottled brown looking color. And I've seen those out in the marsh when you hunt. They're out there during the teal season. But this is one I'd never seen before, and it was a pretty good sized bird.
Yeah, they're good sized birds, but they have that pink beak. The only thing I know other than that is a rosy, you know, from Argentina, and that's got a black beak, black body, not brown.
Yeah. Well, this one was pretty dark.
Got that rosy beak, too.
And it had a lot of white on it, which was unusual, you know.
Well, yeah, those have some white on them, too, the black-bellied squirrels. It might be, you know, kind of a mix, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's time for all that to start happening. But the robin thing is really weird because they're up in Missouri. They never came down. And that just tells us a lot about what's going on with the ducks as well, you know. Things are changing.
Yeah, well, the robins covered me up this year. I saw a lot of robins. Maybe they didn't make it down as far as – you know, you guys are like a different state than it. Y'all more like a Florida climate than a coastal Louisiana climate. You know, you get very few
even
freezes
in Lubbock,
down there.
You know, the golf course ought to be covered with robins right now, and it's not a one, not a one. I mean, and again, the Purple Martins, they should have came at least by Valentine's Day. They should have been in the houses. I hadn't seen them as yet either. But, you know, the fish ought to start coming on the beds anytime now. You know, the bass will start bedding up. It warmed up a little bit this week, and the trout bit a little bit down here. That's first trout that we caught in a little while. Of course, they've been fishing reds because it's easy.
Mm-hmm.
But, I just been throwing feathers every day. But you can't deal with these clouds. So I'm going to take off and go to the Keys a couple of days. I want to go catch a peacock bass while I'm down there. And get that one off my list. And then I'll go back and catch a hogfish in Tampa next time. That's the one I got on my list, too. So I'll start filling my little list with.
That's the one's got kind of a high fin, big long fin on the back, right?
That's got that big funny beak on the front of it. But it's the best eating fish I've ever eaten. It is incredible. White, snow white meat. And just, man, it's nice. Got a texture almost like lobster. Man, I tell you, shame on them when I get on them.
Bring a bunch of them back when you come.
If I'm going to Florida, you can get five. There'll be four or five of us, so I'll bring you some. You'll like that. We got to get together and do something anyhow. We need to go make a bird hunt before it's over. We need to go shoot some birds somewhere before April's over.
Yeah, we'll do that. And then also we got to do some fly fishing. And I want to come down and catch some of them big river catfish, too, man. We haven't done that in a long time.
Oh, I've been wanting to do that right now, actually. I'm fixing my boat up, a little boat, to go put some lines out because they're there right now. We got channel cats. That's what another thing. The boys have been catching blues and channels. There's bass there. I mean, the river's coming up to 11.4 here towards in about 2 weeks. So it's really coming up, and then it's going to drop out a little bit. So, but that doesn't matter. The big catfish are there. So if you want to do that, we could do that.
All right. Sounds like a nice playground.
It is. Disneyland for guys. And now a lot of girls enjoyed it, too.
Enjoy your trips, and we'll catch up with you when you get back.
All right, my friend. We'll see you soon.
Happy Mardi Gras. There he goes, the plastic man, Ryan Lambert. Coming back next, we got a paddler's report for you. We're going to squeeze him in, Captain Eric Mahabarak, next on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And it's time for our paddler's report, brought to you by Massey's, with locations in New Orleans, Baton Rouge, and Covington. Captain Eric Mahabarak is a member, and he's also our reporter. Eric, tell us all about Massey's, their photo tournament, and also Paddle Palooza. What's all that going on for kayakers?
Yeah, yeah.
Getting busy.
Yeah, good morning, Don. They got all kinds of stuff going on over there at Massey's. Of course, they got a full supply of kayaks. I actually just bought a new pair of Hoka Bondi shoes. They starting their catch photo release tournament, which you have to be a part of the member of the club over there. It kicks off on March 10th. If you need any information on that, you can call Val over at the North Shore store. The number's 985-809-7544. Just Google it. It'll pop up Massey's North Shore. She'll be glad to help anybody out with any information on how to get into that. You know, other than that, Don, man, you know, people have been real quiet lately with that tournament coming up. You know, Paddlepalooza, I think that's March 12th coming up. Is the date on that? And that's a slam tournament, of course. But I've been finding some good fish around the Triumph area, which is north of south of Joshua's and north of Yellow Cotton. Yellow Cotton is actually the shortest distance to travel if you're in a kayak. And they've been having some good trout caught there, you know, some 20 inches, some tournament fish, 23 inches, you know, which is good fish in Louisiana. They're coming up on the flats, you know, when the water warms up a little bit, when we have these little cold spells. Today it's going to be a little rough to get there with the wind blowing. But, you know, your redfish, you can still find them around the holes. Those are also coming up on the flats. Oyster reefs, look for your oyster reefs, catching some sheephead down that way. Just all around pretty good fishing, you know, with this warm weather and stuff's been kind of happening, too.
Yeah, I think that Paddlepalooza is going to get a lot of nice stringers brought in there. And if you want information on that, bckfc.org. Next time you come on, we're going to have to talk about the boats on the bayou at the City Park Big Bass Rodeo. They got a really good kayak division on March 26th. But in the meantime, if somebody wants to book you, tell them how to get you. You're on my website and also your website. Give them yours.
Yeah, you can find me on Facebook, the Louisiana Kayak Company, or you can find me on Instagram, the Louisiana Kayak Company, or just pick up the phone, 504-313-8292.
All right, Captain Eric, thank you for the report, and happy Mardi Gras, my friend.
All right, Don, happy Mardi Gras. Y'all be safe out there now.
Yes, sir. All right, that's going to wrap it up. We'll be back again next week, 5 to 7 a.m. By the way, if you're going to be in Slidell on Monday evening doing happy hour for Lundi Gras, 4 to 6 p.m., come see me and Bayou Wild co-host Captain Martha Spencer at Southside Cafe. Have a great meal and have a lot of fun and talk some fishing and hunting. We'll see you next week with The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.